You might not be familiar with the name David Greenwald, but you perhaps are familiar with some of his shows. He was the lead screenwriter and co-producer of such series as Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, and Grimm. Buffy and Angel aired from the mid-1990s through to 2004, and the series Grimm aired from 2011 to 2017. But interestingly, over the last couple of years, David Greenwald has been influenced by Word on Fire, by Bishop Barron, and everything that that ministry represents about the new evangelization. And in the last couple of years, David Greenwald has become a Roman Catholic. In the Word on Fire Institute Journal, there was an interview with him, and I want to read to you now part of what he said in that interview. I want there to be a sign in every classroom in America that says, Surgeon General's warning, stuff will not make you happy. Yet we all think, if only I had $1 million or 10 million, there's only one thing that can fix that, and it took me a lifetime to learn it. David Greenwald is now in his 60s. And that which he's learned is what St. Paul spoke of in our reading from Timothy, to take hold of that life which is truly life, which is eternal life, to be focused on the one who really matters, our Lord Jesus Christ. David Greenwald goes on to say, between Angel, and remember that series ended in 2004, and Grimm, which began in 2011, he said, I went through a very dark night, a very bad depression. Sometimes I like to say, now I know there is a heaven, but sometimes I will say, well, I'm not sure if there is a heaven, but I know there is a hell because I have been there. Therefore, I sort of feel heavenly now on this earth and in this time of my life. David Greenwald discovered that he was living a hell on earth, and he was awakened to the fact that there was something very wrong with his life. Sadly, the rich man in today's parable, this parable is sometimes called the story of Lazarus and Dives. Now, Dives is not a proper name, it's just the Latin word for rich. So just keep that in mind, because I'll return to this in a minute. But in this story, this man who is rich has no sense of the road that he is on, and he therefore entered ultimately into that eternal state that is referred to by Jesus today as Hades. Hades, hell. In the book of Sirach, which is one of the wisdom books of the Old Testament, there is this very vivid verse that speaks about the road to such a place. And listen to how the Old Testament describes it. The way of sinners is paved with smooth stones, but at its end is the pit of Hades. Paved with smooth stones, but its end is Hades. A paraphrase of this verse from Sirach could read like this. The road that sinners walk is smooth and easy to travel, but it slopes down to the world of the dead. It seems that David Greenwald recognized that the road that he was on was sloping downward in that direction. And so his conversion to Catholicism has helped him to begin that discovery of realizing what life really is for. Now, it's important when we think of this rich man to hear again what Jesus says about him. It wasn't sins that he committed, like adultery or murder or theft or even not observing the Sabbath. No, the problem with him were his sins of omission, the things that he did not do, especially ignoring Lazarus. For you see, this rich man lived in the first gated community, because we're told that the rich man's inside the gate and Lazarus is outside of the gate. Now, here's something I want you to think about. This is the only parable of Jesus where a character is given a name. There is no other parable of Jesus where any person is named. But what is interesting is unlike us, where we like to name the rich, and they're the people we like to read about. The only person named here is Lazarus, the poor man. And what is interesting about the name Lazarus, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Eliezer, and the word Eliezer means God has helped. That's what the name Lazarus means, God has helped. But here's the irony. There was the rich man who could have been used by God to help Lazarus, but he did nothing. And now that the rich man is in Hades, he then says to Abraham, can you send that lackey Lazarus over to me? After all, his name means God has helped. Can he come and help me? Do you hear what is happening in this parable? Jesus is wanting us to understand something of great significance. That we are to live in this world in such a way that we realize, particularly in relation to the material poor, that those who have been entrusted with material wealth are not to ignore them, but to help them. I so appreciate how our lectionary pairs an Old Testament text that really helps to anticipate the gospel. And today this is especially the case, for we have a story from Amos, an Old Testament prophet, who is speaking about those people who live in Zion, also known as Jerusalem, which was the capital of the southern kingdom of Judea. And he's also speaking to those in the northern kingdom, or kingdoms, of Samaria, and addressing both the people in the north and the people in the south. And listen again to what he says. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria. Woe to those who lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves, from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp. So what is he criticizing them for? Their life is all about entertainment and just trying to satisfy themselves. And he goes on to speak about how there's going to be a judgment that's going to be brought against Joseph. Joseph is another name for Israel. And he's anticipating a judgment that will happen in this life. It actually took place in the year 721 when Assyria came, and that was the end of the northern kingdom with its headquarters at Samaria. But this is what the readings want us to see. If in the Old Testament it speaks about a judgment in this life, because the materially prosperous ignore the poor, Jesus takes it a step farther. That if we in this life ignore the poor, there will be an eternal punishment that will await us in the life that is to come. So let me summarize the theme of this morning's homily in one sentence. To be named Christian, to be a Catholic, means we are to notice those whose name is Lazarus. To be named Christian means that we will notice those who are named Lazarus. Now, I was reflecting on this. I'd never seen this in this parable before. But there's something very important here. As I said before, this is the only parable where Jesus gives the name to someone. And he gives the name to someone who are usually ignored, are usually forgotten. Consider the following. When we see a person with a hat outstretched as we wait for the light to turn, what do the majority of us do? We look away. When we might see someone outside of a downtown Safeway who's asking for assistance, what do we more often than not do? I think if you're like me, and if I'm honest, I'll pretend they're not there. I'll pretend not to see them. They're nameless. They're faceless to me. And it doesn't happen every week for me, but this week, this parable has really challenged me. That we're called to recognize the dignity of the poor by, in some way, recognizing them. Each person has to decide how you're going to do this, but one of the things that I'm just thinking about, Well, I just want to have some change beside me so that if that happens when I'm waiting for the light to change, I can roll down my window, give a person a bit of change, and say, God bless you. Or perhaps when I'm at Safeway and if I see a homeless person out there, I'll go back in, maybe get a sandwich, get them a drink, to get them an apple, and just say, I see you, and may God bless you. Those are just a couple of examples in my own life, what each one of us is called to do. Personally, we need to sort of pray and think that through. But what I want to focus on is something that I think is very positive, beautiful, and encouraging. And it's something about the parish community of St. Peter's. Because I see here a community where we do see the Lazarus amongst us. We do see the materially poor. And we recognize that we have a responsibility to respond to this need. Let me give you a couple of examples. I'm so appreciative for all of you who last Sunday went down to St. Mary's Cathedral and participated in Feed the Hungry. From what I've been told, I couldn't be there myself. There was a wonderful spirit of generosity, joy, and mutual service. Over 500 people were welcomed into the parish hall of St. Mary's last Sunday, and over 700 plates were served. And what about our Vincentians here at St. Peter's? I'm so appreciative to all of you who are part of St. Vincent de Paul. On average, our volunteers here at St. Peter's contribute 5,400 hours a year in this work. I calculated that to be 225 days in serving the poor of Calgary's Northwest. I want to tell you about an initiative that our St. Vincent de Paul established in August of this year with the Calgary Food Bank. Because of an agreement we now have, we can buy food at a much reduced price through the food bank. And we anticipate that this will mean in 2020, we will save $17,000 on food purchases. That means this money can be used for other things. Maybe to help with rent, to help with utilities, to help with other things that the materially poor can use to help them in a positive way. Another thing that we do that I'm just hearing more about, and I'm so appreciative for this, when we take a hamper to a family for the first time, we then try to follow that up, if they're open to it, with a visit from two people who want to just have the opportunity to get to know the family a little bit more, to share with them what other resources are available in this part of the Northwest in order to help build the kinds of bridges that are needed. Now, I know many of you are stretched to the limit in terms of your time, and you cannot take on one more thing, and I want to say I totally affirm that. But if you do realize, you know what, I do have some time, where I could give maybe 2, 3, 4 hours a month, where I could drive down to the food bank in the southeast, pick up some food, bring it back here to our St. Vincent de Paul pantry. I could do that. Or you might be someone who says, you know, I would like to have that opportunity to work with others, to receive the appropriate training, so I could go into the homes of those whom we are seeking to support and help and be a further link. On our website this week, on the homepage, on the right-hand side, it says Quick Links. The very top link this week will take you to our St. Vincent de Paul website. If you feel inspired, if you feel invited to participate in this way, I'd invite you to go there, click it on. There's an email address, also a phone number, where you could reach out and speak with someone to get more information. David Greenwald, whom I quoted at the beginning, didn't explicitly talk about noticing Lazarus in what I said there. But what he did say is he feels now in his life, not because of his success as a screenwriter, not because he's a big Hollywood name. No, he says, I feel in my life now kind of heaven has come to earth because something happens to us when we discover what our life is really for and what it is really about. And part of what our life is for and about, as Jesus says today, is to take the time to notice Lazarus. Because when we do that, we are joining in God's work in a special way. And we're able to say, yes, Lazarus, your name, which means God has helped, is finding expression by how we here at St. Peter's want to live our lives in regards to the poor. And by doing this, it's a way for us to bring heaven down to earth.